Good morning, Bethel Church. My name's Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel. And it is my great delight to finish up our summer series with you this morning on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Craig led us through verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Andy led us through verses 10 and 11. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Last week, we went through verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And this morning, we finished the Lord's Prayer in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you have your Bible with you, we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can raise your hand, and an usher will bring you a copy of God's Word. If you don't own a Bible, please keep it. Take it home, read it. It's our gift to you. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. It's about three quarters of the way through. Also, there's a table of contents in the front to help you find your place. This morning, we'll explore the three temptations every person faces. Appetite, I'll never have enough. Ambition, I'll never do enough. And approval, I'll never be enough. We'll discover how Jesus found a way out of each temptation and how we too can find deliverance. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, thank you for yourself. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us to rise again in victory so that we could have a relationship with you that starts now and lasts forever. Thank you for the powerful way that you've already met with us this morning in worship and how you're about to speak to us through your word. Lord, speak through me what you would have for us this morning in your word. And Lord, beyond anything that I might speak, speak directly to our hearts, Holy Spirit, revealing what you want to teach us this morning. We pray this all in your powerful name, Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. When Tara bought a giant inflatable swan raft, she anticipated a fun day at the ocean. She and her 7-year-old son inflated the swan and floated it out onto the calm ocean water. A perfect day, no wind, no waves. Within minutes, everything grew eerily quiet. No voices of beachgoers, no splashes of swimmers. The current had swept them half a mile offshore. Tara, realizing what had happened, quickly sprang into the water and tried swimming the swan to shore with every ounce of energy she had. It was too late. The swan only drifted further and further away. She shouted for help, but no one could hear her. Land just kept getting farther and farther and farther away, she said. I've never been more scared in my entire life. She prayed for rescue. That's when a fire rescue boat found them, now 5 miles offshore. She couldn't stop the tears. She and her son were saved. She said the next time she floats on a raft, the water will have chlorine. When we're tempted, our choice often looks safe, but slowly it drifts us into dangerous waters. And too often, we fail to realize our danger until we're powerless to overcome it. We drift further and further until we've totally lost sight of shore. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We know that God doesn't tempt us to sin. James 1:13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." This prayer doesn't mean, "God, stop leading me into temptation. You're the worst." No. It means, "God, lead me away from temptation, because I'm the worst at resisting it." Why does Jesus say, "Lead us not into temptation"? Why doesn't he say, "Lead us not into sin"? Because it's easier to flee temptation than to fight it. Consider Joseph in Genesis 39. His master's wife grabs his cloak, saying, "Come to bed with me." How does Joseph respond? Does he say, "That's a bit too far. How about we cuddle up on the couch instead?" No. Genesis 39:12. He left his cloak in her hand and ran out of that house. Flee temptation. Jesus says, don't just fight temptation. Flee. One way to flee temptation is to build boundaries. Boundaries are moral barriers that distance ourselves from unhealthy situations. Imagine you're curled up on your favorite couch watching a show with a jar of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies on your lap. You've eaten too many cookies and you think you should stop. So you close up the jar. But what's keeping you from opening the jar and grabbing another one? So you set the jar on the coffee table. But what's keeping you from reaching over to the coffee table, opening the jar, and grabbing another cookie? So you move the jar to the kitchen. Now, what's keeping you from going to the kitchen, opening the jar, and grabbing another cookie? Okay, hopefully enough by this point. What if this principle applied to all temptation, big and small? What if we could pray for God to close up our cookie jars and remove them from our sights? That's what Matthew 6:13 is all about. Because it's not just our willpower we're fighting. We're fighting Satan. Jesus continues in Matthew 6:13, "Deliver us from the evil one." We have an enemy. The Bible addresses him by various names: the evil one, the enemy, the devil, Satan. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Satan isn't equal to God, not even close, but he is a fallen angel separated from God by sin. He tried to become like God, and now he tries to become our God, distancing ourselves from our Heavenly Father. Have you ever watched an action movie where the villain goes after the hero's family? Satan can't attack God directly, but he can attack God's children. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 5, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour." Who does the lion attack? The one who's weak, alone, and unsuspecting. As you think through your next week, when are you at your weakest? What temptations are waiting for you there? A survey of Discipleship Journal readers ranked their top temptations. Here were their top five: materialism, selfishness, laziness, bitterness, lust. Survey respondents noted temptations were strongest when they hadn't spent time with God and when they were physically tired. On the other hand, their willpower was strongest when they prayed, avoided compromising situations, studied the Bible, and had someone hold them accountable. What's one specific temptation in your life? What boundaries might help you flee from that temptation before you ever have to fight it? Maybe you need to break ties with an unhealthy friendship. Maybe you need someone to hold you accountable on your spending. Maybe you need to install an internet filter on your personal devices. Whatever it is, let God lead you away from temptation before you ever have to fight it. Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, Jesus wasn't tempted to eat too many chocolate chip cookies, play too many video games, or visit the wrong websites. How exactly was Jesus tempted, and how did he overcome temptation? Most of our temptations fall into three categories. First, appetite. Second, ambition. Third, approval. Our temptations say this world can offer more than God can. 1 John 2:16 puts it this way: everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world promises to offer us more, but in the end, it only offers us emptiness. In Matthew 4, Jesus fasts 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, where Satan tempts him in these three areas. Jesus not only overcomes temptation, he teaches us how to overcome it ourselves. Let's flip a few pages back to Matthew 4, verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus' first temptation takes the form of appetite, the lust of the flesh. Appetite says, I'll never have enough. It says, I deserve pleasure, and I don't care if it damages me or my relationship with God. Verse 3, the tempter came to him. The tempter comes for us all. It's not a matter of if, but when. For that reason, Jesus, like all good Jewish boys in his day, memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. One such story he memorized was Numbers 20. Moses was wandering in the desert, and he was thirsty. God said, "Speak to that rock, and it will pour out water." Here in Matthew 4, Jesus is wandering through the desert, and he is hungry. Satan says, "Tell these stones to become bread." Sound familiar? It would have been tempting to tell these stones to become buttery, freshly baked bread. After all, Jesus is able. He's hungry. And he knows God told Moses to do something similar. But this wasn't the Father asking him. This was Satan. Jesus knew the difference. Jesus had a boundary. Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's voice sounds like God's word. Jesus knew that, so he didn't face temptation without first feasting on truth. And the voice of truth said, for this season, for this time, fast and pray. Whose voice are you following? Culture says you need a newer phone, a better car, a bigger house, and the list goes on. Christ says, follow me, and you'll always have enough. How are you tempted in the area of appetite? Maybe it's materialism. You try to find happiness in buying more stuff, and you never have enough. Maybe it's lust. You try to find pleasure through fantasies in your mind or images on a screen. Maybe it's overeating. You snack constantly and stuff your body with unhealthy foods that make you feel better now, but sick later. When we chase after our appetites, we slowly drift into danger. When we follow God's voice, we find rescue. We don't need the world's empty pleasures. Christ is enough. That leads to Jesus' second temptation, ambition. I'll never do enough. Matthew 4, verse 5. And the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus' second temptation takes the form of ambition, the lust of the eyes. Ambition says, I'll never do enough. It says, I deserve power. I'm first, and everyone else can get behind me. Much like we might call Chicago the Windy City, the people of Jesus' day call Jerusalem the Holy City. Satan takes Jesus to the temple's pinnacle, overlooking a deep valley, a dizzying 200 feet below. It was the skyscraper of Jesus' day, and Satan whispers, jump. Moreover, Satan's whispers sound a lot like scripture. He even quotes Psalm 91, 11 and 12. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus could have justified jumping. He commands angel armies. Surely they would catch him. He could have crowds watching. Surely they would be amazed and worship him. Bungee jumping on angels sounds pretty cool, right? But Jesus had a boundary. Deuteronomy 6:16, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, Satan's quotes are out of context. Psalm 91 says God will protect us from outside evil, not prevent us from choosing evil ourselves. A verse before, Psalm 91:10, says, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Bungee jumping on angels didn't exactly qualify. It's easy to justify our temptation to achieve. Maybe you inflate your ego, saying, I need to impress others to win them over for Jesus. Maybe you skip out on serving saying, I need to focus on my own goals of becoming a better person. Maybe you neglect your family, saying, I need to work longer hours to provide a better life for them. Satan tried to justify his temptations, but Jesus wouldn't twist truth to serve his own ambitions. Jesus knew which voice to follow. Whose voice are you following? Culture says, do more, work more, earn more, achieve, 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 and eventually everyone will serve you. Christ says, follow me, and you'll always do enough. How are you tempted in the area of ambition? Maybe it's selfishness. You tend to take the cushy job and leave the grunt work for others. Maybe it's anger. You expect everyone to serve you and criticize them when they don't. Maybe it's workaholism. You bury yourself in your career and hardly make time for friends and family. When we chase after our ambitions, we slowly drift into danger. When we follow God's voice, we find rescue. We don't need the world's empty power. Christ is enough. That leads us to Jesus' third temptation, approval. I'll never be enough. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Jesus' third temptation takes the form of approval, the pride of life. Approval says, I'll never be enough. It says, I deserve praise. Why should God get all the glory? Satan is offering to make Jesus the ruler of the world. That's the Father's plan, after all, for every knee to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It must have been tempting to skip over the cross and straight to the crown. But that wasn't the Father's full plan. Jesus had a boundary. Deuteronomy 6:13, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The Father's plan included the cross, and there were no shortcuts in his plan. Notice how Jesus responds all three times. It is written. Three times Satan tempts Jesus, and three times Jesus quotes scripture. Jesus armed himself with truth, and when temptation came, he knew which voice to follow. Whose voice are you following? Culture says your worth is measured by your friends and followers, your likes and shares. Be worshiped or be worthless. Christ says, follow me, and you'll always be enough. How are you tempted in the area of approval? Maybe it's vanity. You're constantly worried about how you look and how others perceive you. Maybe it's gossip. You dish out other people's dirt to make yourself look better. Maybe it's compromise. You swear or drink too much to fit in with friends. When we chase after others' approval, we slowly drift into danger. When we follow God's voice, we find rescue. You don't need the world's empty praise. Christ is enough. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus not only prayed this, he lived it. First, Jesus chose his Father's will over his own appetites. At the Last Supper, he took bread and wine, saying, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." Second, Jesus chose to serve others rather than his own ambitions. That same night, Jesus took the role of a slave and washed his disciples' sweaty, dung-stained feet. Mark 10:45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Finally, Jesus chose public rejection over his own approval. Shortly after these things, Jesus was mocked, tortured, and killed, then rose again so that we might be adopted into God's family forever. 1 John 3:1, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called his children, and that is who we are." Jesus resisted Satan's temptations of appetite, ambition, and approval, and so can we. So how do we overcome temptation? First, pray as Jesus prayed. "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." God will show you an exit if you ask for one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it." Pray for God to show you an exit, then take it. Flee temptation before you ever have to fight it. Second, fight as Jesus fought. If you can't flee temptation, then fight it with Scripture, like Jesus did. It is written, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." What scriptures help you follow God's voice rather than the world's voice? Remember, Jesus didn't stay in the desert. He went out and found 12 friends to join him on his mission. Surround yourself with other believers who can fight alongside you. Share your struggles with them and seek accountability. John Piper says, "The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make me happier." Sin may make you happier for a moment, but God offers true joy that starts now and lasts forever. What God offers is infinitely better than Satan's empty promises. The question is, do you believe that God knows best? Satan tempts us all differently. I don't know what temptation you're fighting, but I know this: God's arms are long. Isaiah 59:1, "The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. You're not too far to turn around. Just ask and he'll rescue you. He'll lead you away from temptation and deliver you from the evil one. You don't need the world's empty pleasures, empty power, empty praise. In Christ, you'll always have enough. You'll always do enough. You'll always be enough." Let me leave you with one thing. Christ is enough. Ask God to reveal a specific temptation in your life, along with three boundaries to lead you out of temptation. Write them down, share them with someone you trust, and put them into practice. Let's close in prayer together, all in one voice, as our Father taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And all God's people said, Amen.